welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. For those of you watching, there's like lights flickering in my room. I don't know what that is. Ghosts of 49ers past. I am very excited to welcome back to the show my good friend, very funny, very talented, very smart, very handsome, very in the know, Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle. Welcome back, Mike.
That is a heck of an intro. Well, it is great to be here on Stranger Things. And let's hope that the light flickering is just a temporary state of affairs for you.
Yes, hopefully it is. I want to tell everybody, the time of recording, there's no Brandon Ayuk news. There are conflicting reports at the time of recording that there will be Brandon Ayuk news, but at the time of recording, there is no Brandon Ayuk news. So until there is, I think at this point, we've all talked about it aplenty. But there is one other person who's not holding in, of course, but is holding out, and that is Trent Williams. It's now been, we're like a week and a half, a little over a week, I guess, into training camp. He has not been there. I don't think it's something they're super concerned about. But to be honest, I kind of thought that deal would have been done super quick.
Yeah, and they've known about it for months, which is the thing that kind of surprises me, because, you know, Christian McCaffrey wanted more money. He stayed away from OTAs, and very quickly and very quietly, they gave him more money, and he deserved it. He had earned it. It was the right move for them. Trent Williams is paid less than a bunch of tackles I could name, and when I start naming some of them, people are going to be like, there's no way, you know, Andrew Thomas, Christian Darrisaw, and even a right tackle, Penei Sewell, who's a great right tackle, but is making way more. So, A, he's underpaid, and B, I'd say he's the most indispensable person in that building in a season where you're desperately trying to win a championship. You're still in that rookie contract window with Purdy. And yet, Trent Williams, if he doesn't play, and he's 36, he could certainly decide not to. His backup's Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore is okay. I don't know that he would be a starter right now penciled in for any of the other 31 teams. And if you're the Niners, I just think if you knew about this, why didn't you do what you did with McCaffrey and just solve it very quickly? Now, Trent Williams may not want to, you know, desperately be at training camp the first couple of weeks, but I would expect them to get on this reasonably soon, because you want him to get at least some time before the season starts.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive a 50% free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. Well, and I think you could say, obviously, Trent Williams has been in the league a long time. He's the best in his position. He doesn't need training camp. But I think something we've seen, we saw it with Bosa, we saw it with Debo, no matter what, everyone needs some training camp. And the other thing, not even just in the, you know, being on the field, you don't want to get hurt. And I'm sure Trent Williams is training and all of those things, but you don't want him to get hurt. And something I've said a few times on this podcast, even before we knew about this, is the team is one Trent Williams injury away from not going to the Super Bowl and not really having a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So it is surprising, as you said, they've known about this for a while. So we'll see again, of course, the time of recording, no news has happened. So we'll see by the time this comes out tomorrow, maybe both Ayuk and Trent Williams will have signed and there'll be like a big parade welcoming them back to the building.
And to stay on this for a sec, we do have data points on this. We saw three games last year where Trent Williams either missed most of the game or all of the game. Mm-hmm. They were consecutive games, and they were not really pretty to watch for 49er fans. No. They were the game in Cleveland, mm-hmm. the game against the Vikings in Minnesota on the Monday night, mm-hmm. and then the debacle against the Bengals. They lost all three of those games after starting 5-0. Mm-hmm. They had a bye. He came back, and they scored about 900 points against the Jaguars that went on a run. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just us saying he's great. It's not just all the people he plays against and with who say he's great. We do have actual studies of what they look like with him out. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Because there's so much riding on this season, and it's not their last chance to win. It's not their only chance to win. We could get into all of that, but certainly they have that gift of the Purdy rookie contract, so you can load up mm-hmm. for this season. And then I had some fun this week writing about how the Lions, who came very close to beating them at Levi's in mm-hmm. January, have been a thorn in their side all offseason, specifically in relation to these two disputes, because the contract they gave Amon-Ra St. Brown through the Aiyuk market out of whack, and they paid Penei Sewell, their right tackle, way more than Trent Williams. And then just to pile on, recently they gave their left tackle, Taylor Decker, a 3-year, $60 million extension. Just to poke, hey, we got one guy who makes about as much as you and one guy who makes way more than you, Trent Williams. Stay away a little longer.
Chess, not checkers. Lions playing mind games. The season hasn't even started yet.
Right?
Well,
they I've known Brad Holmes a long time, their general manager. He may have, you know, he may just want to get these deals done for his own purposes. It's entirely possible. But there's a little part of me that thinks chess, not checkers.
I kind of think so, too. So this is going to be fun to see how all of this plays out. So let's talk about a couple people who are there. One in particular, this week was Ricky Pearsall's training camp debut, their rookie wide receiver, who potentially is the heir apparent to either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. Looks like, and I was not able to be there this week, but it sounds like he was looking pretty good.
Well, I got to tell you, in OTAs, he had the blue jersey on. That was concerning. Mm-hmm. Apparently had some soreness yet really impressed Brock Purdy, Kyle Juszczyk, guys I've talked to. They're super into it, as is Kyle Shanahan. So then I was really bummed when he started on the NFI non-football injury list with mm-hmm. a hamstring injury. So on Monday, I got all revved up. He's going to make his debut. They're in pads. Here we go. And all he did was catch punts and just stand there. And I kind of snapped and wrote a, column about him, fellow drafted skill players, Jacob Cowing and Isaac Garendo, who are also out with similar injuries. I call them the hamstring mm-hmm. trio. And it's not a band that 49er fans want to thrive. They'd like that band to break up. So, yeah, 100%. I was really let down on Monday. He did a little bit more on Tuesday. And then finally on Wednesday, he started tearing it up. And I saw it. I was like, oh, now I see what the hype is about. Ricky Pearsall's looking smooth and fast and nice. And so that got me fired up. And, of course, mm-hmm. I take full credit for lighting a fire under him. Because as we all know, Tracy, we've been told this a lot. You cannot make the club in the tub.
Oh, I don't think I've actually ever heard that phrase, but it's amazing.
You can't make the club in the tub. And the one that goes with that one, its cousin, is the best ability is availability.
Is availability. That one we hear a lot, but you can't make the club in the tub is amazing. I'm super into that.
That one is player driven from way back. The ability quote is coach driven or GM driven, mm-hmm. but the can't make the club in the tub is very player driven.
Well, with that in mind, let's talk about another member of the hamstring trio. Thus far, the band has broken up somewhat. They are now a hamstring duo.
We're hoping
that is the case. I mean, I actually was wondering the other day, are hamstrings the new high ankle sprain for this team? Because there was a while there when everybody had a high ankle sprain, it was all the rage. Everybody was having, and there were different levels of it. Some people were fine in 2 weeks, some people in 6 weeks, some people never came back, all kinds of things with the high ankle sprain. The hamstring does seem to be the new high ankle sprain, but they have another draft pick wide receiver, Jacob Cowing. And certainly as someone that you would think would make the team, certainly a high enough draft pick. But this team is interesting. I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, because on this particular team that just went to a Super Bowl and really just had to fine tune, I don't know that Jacob Cowing's a lock, even though he was not like a late round draft pick. So he's apparently muffed a couple punts. He's got an earful from Kyle Shanahan, and now he's out with a hamstring injury. Not a lot going in his favor at the moment. Also, I have to bring this up. My guy, Ronnie Bell, had a really good practice on Wednesday. And that, I feel like that's a competition thing right there.
Well, the wide receiver group is logjammed, and that includes Trent Taylor, our old favorite. Yeah. And now fans of NFL Network may remember that I went way out on a limb, ride or die, that Trent Taylor was going to be the breakout player of, I believe, 2019, and that he had 5 foot surgeries. So I came back in 2020 and I doubled down. I was like, this is the year Trent Taylor breaks out. It didn't happen, but he stayed in the league as a productive player for the Bengals. Now he's back, and he's a nice little punt returner, shifty slot guy, kind of like what they think Jacob Cowing is. So that adds to that mix too. Now, here's what I've heard on Jacob Cowing. And, you know, part of becoming an NFL player, that transition from college to the pros, is figuring out how to play through some injuries and also figuring out that it's a job and not just, you know, something that you do between parties or whatever. Not to talk about my own college experience, and I didn't play. I did party. But, you know, what I'm told is that Jacob Cowing, who is a very, you know, has a very slight frame, put on 20 pounds over the offseason of muscle, which they wanted. Then the break happened, and then when he came back from the break, that 20 pounds did not return. Apparently, it was left. So, you know, some players get too big during the break. He apparently came in smaller than they would have hoped. So there was that. You mentioned Kyle Shanahan got on him a little bit. You don't want to see a guy fumbling punts ever, even in practice, and then the hamstring. So there is talk about next week him being out there. And look, would they cut him outright? I don't know. Do they think he'd last if they did that and put him on the practice squad? Maybe. There's also the IR scenario. And let's pivot now to the running backs, because Isaac Garendo, who they're so excited about, like first practice hurts his hamstring. That's a more severe hamstring injury. They're talking weeks. Now, that's probably, to me, a season-long IR. I don't know if they hold the roster spot. Meanwhile, in classic 49er fashion, there's one guy they drafted in the middle rounds that they got really excited about, and then there's a later rookie that nobody's considering. This pattern keeps happening over and over, but Cody Schrader, undrafted from Missouri, is looking really good. So how many times has this happened? We had Joe Williams, we had Ty Davis Price, we had Trey Sermon, all guys picked in those middle rounds. Didn't really pan out, but then you have your Jordan Masons and your Elijah Mitchells and your Jeff Wilson Juniors, and now Cody Schrader, and you end up going, man, the 49ers didn't pick the right running back in the right slot, but they got there eventually. So, yeah, I would not be surprised to see Garendo not a factor this season, and Cowing, the jury's still out. And they do have some interesting running backs. Mason looks really good. Mitchell's still there, obviously. You know, McCaffrey is paid and married and happy. And then this guy, Patrick Taylor, who was on the Packers, looks pretty good too. So, you know, it's been a fun camp so far.
Well, one thing about the 49ers is they can never have too many running backs. So it's important for that room to be filled. And that's an interesting point on Garendo. I wouldn't be surprised, since it is a severe hamstring injury, if he does end up on this season-long IR. And you mentioned the practice squad. I mean, going back to Trent Taylor, I feel like that's a place where they could he can definitely end up on their practice squad. They have some options there. And so it's going to be interesting. And of course, they have not played a preseason game yet. And that is where, no matter what's happening in camp, that is where we're going to see a lot. It's the preseason game.
And the joint workouts. Yes.
And the joint practices with the Saints.
I want to kind of prepare fans in advance for what's, I believe, going to happen. So they have three preseason games, only one of them at home. But before the home game against the Saints on the 18th of August, they have joint practices in Orange County with the Saints, who are doing their training camp there. Typically, they'd come to Santa Clara. They don't like the field set up, the 49ers, for two teams. So they're doing it down there. Now, Kyle Shanahan views those joint workouts as more important to him than a preseason game, because they could control the script. So what I believe is going to happen is that second preseason game, you're not going to see anyone that they really, really care about.
Well, that's what they normally do. And what was interesting last year, and I think this was, and we assumed and we knew they weren't going to have any starters in that second preseason game. And Isaiah Oliver played in that preseason game. And that's when we knew that this was not going well. And I remember Kyle Shanahan being asked the day after that game, why was Isaiah Oliver in the game when you weren't playing any starters? He said, because he's not a guaranteed starter. And so it'll be after the joint practices. It's actually an interesting game to keep an eye on for who is playing in that game and what does that mean for their future.
That's a great point. So I think the first preseason game against the Titans in Nashville, you'll see, Brock Purdy and friends out there, I believe, early on. And then, maybe play through a little bit, depending on how Kyle feels about it. He may not want to risk the Christian McCaffreys of the world in that situation. But, you'll see some guys. The priority, though, is going to be those joint workouts, which come after that. Then the second preseason game, you're not going to see people that are at the time highly valued. And then in that third preseason game against the Raiders in Las Vegas, I think you'll see the dress rehearsal. Let's get the starters out there for a drive or two and tune it up and then, put the backups in. So I do believe, Tracy, we'll get to a model eventually where joint workouts are more of a thing and preseason games start to get reduced even more. You know, it was six when I was a kid, if you could believe that, with 14 regular season games.
Six?
Yeah, it was 6 and 14. And believe it or not, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. When I was a kid, think about how I process football. I'm like, it made no sense to me. I'm like, 6 and 14, that seems weird. But here's the even weirder thing. There was a thing called the College All-Star Game. And what would happen was the college all-stars from the previous season, or maybe heading into the next season, would play the defending champion in like a standalone preseason game, which was an extra. So like,
oh my God,
if the Steelers won the Super Bowl, they'd play 7 preseason games. And here's the even weirder part. Like, they kind of had to play to win in that game because you can't lose to a bunch of college kids or the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's on national TV. So I just remember as a kid going, what are we doing? A third of all the games for the defending champion are fake? That makes no sense. So anyway, 6 and 14 blessedly became 4 and 16. Now it's 3 and 17. I believe it'll end up being 2 and 18. Mm-hmm. And it is a bummer for the young people trying to make a splash and fight their way onto these rosters. But, the fans who've had to play to pay full prices as part of their season ticket packages all these years would probably appreciate that relief of not having to do that.
It's such an interesting sport, too, because we talk about, you probably won't see anybody that they really value in the second preseason game. And it's the reality of the sport, but for the guys playing in that game, it's an opportunity to show, what they can do. And I know people will say, they're doing it against the backups. Yeah, but they're going to be backups. So you need to see how they're going to do, but it is kind of an interesting sport that way. And I remember it when Jimmy Garoppolo first came and they signed him and CJ Beathard is starting and everybody wanted Garoppolo to start, and Kyle said, he wasn't ready yet. We can't have him go out there getting hurt. Meanwhile, CJ Beathard is going out there every week and getting pummeled.
Right.
Just, it's a tough business, Mike. It's a real tough business.
There are some great stories. And, you know, my friend Jeff Scandina, who is the Cowboys defensive line coach, was the 49ers defensive line coach pre-Chris Kocurek. Spent, I think, 17 years in the NFL as a grunt defensive tackle. His claim to fame is that he made the minimum every single season, but stuck around in the league, won Super Bowls, and, you know, good player. But he tells this story of now he's in year, I think, 17, and he's on the Texans, and they've told him, you're just here as a camp body. You're not making the team. Rick Smith, their GM at the time, had been Scandina's college roommate at Purdue, and he, you know, he's like, we're not keeping you. And so it's the last preseason game. I think they're in either Miami or Tampa, and it's hot. It's like a day game. And his mom's in the stands because he tells her, this is probably the last time I'm going to wear an NFL uniform. And he plays every single play of the game. And the refs are laughing at him because they know him. They're like, what are you doing out here? They played him an entire game in the heat and the humidity in August. He played every single snap. So if anything ever told you, you're not making the team, you're not valued, it was that. And then they kept him on the roster. Something happened. They rejuggled it. And then cut down day came and they're like, you're on the team. And he's just, you know, that's an all-timer to me. So never say never. Think of the spirit of Jeff Scandina. That's spelled with a Z for you people who want to Google my friend. He is a maniac and a great dude.
And that, it's a good point. It is never say never. And that's training camp. That's preseason. Someone could get hurt. And then the other thing, Kyle Shanahan says this every year. I think I ask him every year, is this the hardest, worst day of the year? And every year he says, yes, it is. But he says, there's the practice squad. And it makes a big difference because, you know, a lot, I think to the casual fan, the practice squad feels like, oh, the practice squad. But those guys play. And those are the first guys to get called up when people get injured. So people are not just playing to make the 53. They're playing to make the 53 plus 16, 17. You know, so that's something to keep in mind, too.
It is the hardest day of the year, except that when it ends, Kyle Shanahan hosts a party with a theme every year, famously, to celebrate everybody who made the team. And everyone's invited with spouses. You know, it's an organizational thing, but especially the players who made the team. And so not only do you get cut, but you miss the party and then probably get FOMO from that. So it can't be that bad if Kyle's hosting a party for him. I would say, you know, I am fascinated by that, by the way, because I'm wondering, as you know, Tracy, a lot of times we'll say, oh, these are the cuts. This is the team, but you know it's not over, right? Other teams no. make cuts. They go, oh, we actually want that guy who the Browns cut as our, you know, fourth defensive tackle. And now a guy who thought he made the team gets cut the next day. You know, people go on IR. It's a weird thing. So I always wonder at that party, this is the final roster. We're having the party. Does anyone go to the party and then the next day get cut? That's kind of awkward, too.
Well, I also noticed this year they're doing players for a purpose 2 days after cut down day. They used to do it. It was depend on their preseason schedule. But back when there were four preseason games, it was always, I think, before the last preseason game. Then the preseason schedule changed. And so, and that may be part of it this year, too. But I was like, that's interesting because perhaps players for a purpose is better, which is the people, excuse me, who in theory made the team. So I did notice that that was kind of an interesting change to the schedule as well.
I just want to go on a little tangent here. And I know the NFLPA bargains for things and they can definitely ask for some things in exchange for going to 18 games, which I think is inevitable. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why I'm a big jobs guy. Like when I assess the economy, I'm not an economic genius, right. But I love lots of jobs. I love when I hear that unemployment's low and jobs are created.
Correct. That's much better.
I think we need more jobs in the NFL, and the practice squad is a good thing. Those are kind of jobs. You're not getting paid NFL wages, but you are getting something, and you do have an association with the team and a path to get on the active roster. I don't understand why we're keeping rosters at 53. I think that could go higher given the attrition in football. Why can only 46 or 45 be active on Sunday? I just think these are antiquated rules. Let all 53 be active. And if some guys are hurt, okay, we only have 50. I just don't know why we have to do these weird juggling things. If I'm the Players Association, I want jobs, man. I'd like rosters to be 59 or 60. And, maybe the practice squad doesn't have to be so big because they expanded at the COVID year. But let's make the active roster big. And, now the owners have to pay more money and, benefits and all that. But I would fight for that and just have bigger rosters. And then with that, a path toward a bigger game day roster, because it's just stupid to me when you have 51 healthy guys that you like, but you can only, dress 45 of them, and you have to make these calculations, and you have, you have these practice squad elevations now, and you can only do so many of them. It's this weird juggling act. And we obviously saw a premium football game in Philadelphia where, because of quarterback injuries, they had to have a guy who couldn't throw, Brock Purdy, come in and be a handoff machine, which nobody likes. It should never be so stressful that you can't just have a third quarterback there and also, have enough guys for special teams. It's very easy to solve. More jobs. I'm pro jobs, Tracy. Jobs.
Pro jobs. That's what we're taking away. Pro jobs. And it's interesting because they did solve it on the quarterback side. You can now have your emergency quarterback. Interesting that they didn't just decide.
But it still costs you, it costs you a roster spot in general because you have to have other team. And it costs you on game day because I'm done with my rant. They did do that at least, and they used to have it that way with the emergency third quarterback, and they have all these rules around it. The over-legislation right now is driving me insane. So they ruined the onside kick. Now, really, they ruined it when they stopped the run-up on the kickoff because onside kicks now are so hard. But now they literally – I don't know if fans are aware of this. Because of the new kickoff rule, you can only try an onside kick if you announce it. And they're very, it has to be in the fourth quarter. You have to be trailing. Mm-hmm. There's all these weird rules, but you have to now say, hello, we are, we are trying the onside kick. And then the other team goes, okay, we are putting our onside kick defense team in. And then you're probably not going to get it. But the surprise onside kick is dead. And that's why, if you're going to get rid of the kickoff, I thought the fourth and 15 was a better idea. And to summarize that's the idea of the fourth and 15 is there's no more kickoffs. Mm-hmm. When you score a touchdown or a field goal or start a game, it's your ball on the 30 or 35, wherever the spot is, and it's fourth and 15. So typically you punt, you send the punter on and you punt instead of kickoff. But you could theoretically say we're going for it on fourth and 15, which is the equivalent of the onside kick. We need it back. So you send your offense out. But you could still do the equivalent of the surprise onside kick that way, because you could fake the punt and try to get the 15 yards and hope that your punter can really sling it, But so I don't love any of it, but of the proposals I've heard to replace the kickoff, I like that one better than the weird thing they're going to do this year that I think is going to be a fiasco.
It's going to be really interesting this year. And for our special teams coach, when we're talking about the new kickoff rules, Brian Schneider, he was asked, is it going to be interesting in preseason? He said, this is going to be all season. Everyone's going to be spending the entire season figuring this out. And it'll make for some interesting football, maybe.
I have a theory, because the guys I'm talking to, and by the way, for you 49er fans freaking out, that Rams helmet behind me is from the movie American Underdog, which is based on my book, All Things Possible, Kurt Warner's life story, the whole cast signed
it. We need to talk about your new book before you leave.
We do, actually. It took 21 years to get that one on the big screen, but we did it. So, I'm not like – I'm not Ram fanboying out. I am fanboying about that movie, though. You should see it. So here's the thing that I think is going to happen with this kickoff is because the way guys are describing it to me is it's like an outside zone running play, 49ers special, mm-hmm. where you keep it wide and then you cut. And if you beat one guy, it's kind of you in an outside zone. It might be nobody. And this, it's right. you and the kicker. And that's why they're putting Debo back there. You know, guys who a kicker has no chance to tackle. But what I think is going to happen, because originally on this weird new rule, a touchback would take it to the 35. Then they mm-hmm. changed it to the 30, which, you know, mm-hmm. used to be the 20 for years. Then it became the 25. So now it's the 30. So my theory mm-hmm. on what's going to happen is like week one, somebody's going to be about to beat somebody. And, you know, a favored team is going to be about to win. They're going to kick off. And then, you know, the Patriots are going to, like, make one cut, score on this crazy kickoff, and win because of it. And every head coach in the league after that is going to be like, bleep this, kick it out of the end zone. We'll send it to the 30. I'm not yep. doing this. I don't care. And then we're going to have a whole season of, oh, it's your ball at the 30, which helps yep. offenses. But by the way, last thing on special teams, I had a moment with your guy, Jake Moody. You referenced Ronnie Bell. So Jake Moody, for the record, though last year I was very dubious about the idea of getting rid of a kicker, Robbie Gould, with such a decorated postseason history when you were in an all-in season and taking a rookie, I actually loved the kid. He had a great season. Mm-hmm. He was really accountable when he missed that field goal in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He was great day in, day out. He's, you know, he's got a chance to be a star in this league, and I really like the person. So I saw
Same. Him. Trace, I agree with everything Mike just said.
And he's a Michigan man. But I saw him walking up the field, and I took him aside, and I just said, listen, man, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for not giving a commencement address during the offseason. And we had a nice, we had a nice laugh about that and agreed that it's not really great for the brand, the kicking brand, when the other Super Bowl kicker goes and gives a commencement address and decides to tell half of the graduates how to live their lives and essentially in the kitchen. So I wasn't a big fan of Harrison Butker's speech. Really glad that Jake Moody just decided to just lay low.
Well, Jake Moody would never do that because Jake Moody is wonderful. Correct. And correct. You guys all, and I think everyone has accepted this, that all of my professional unbiasedness goes out the window when it comes to Jake Moody and Ronnie Bell. but I think that is, I'm unbiased beat reporter. I am not a fan anymore. But when it comes to Jake Moody, especially, and Ronnie Bell, then all bets are off. And I think everyone's just accepted it. No one seems to have a problem with it.
I mean, I got to tell you, like, I started getting really scared when Jake Moody would line up for important kicks, not because I was worried Jake Moody would be nervous, not because I was worried about 49er fans or coaches or players, but I would see Tracy, and we often sit next to each other, and I would just see how nervous you were for him, and I'm just thinking, I don't want to have to watch Tracy go through this. So let's just hope it goes through. And really, like, look, he did miss one kick in every playoff game. There were blocks. But the pressure of hitting those two 50-plus yarders in mm-hmm. the Super Bowl, and specifically the one late in regulation that put them up three, and if he missed, they would have almost surely lost in regulation. Patrick Mahomes would have had great field position. That's a lot of pressure. And so he did show me something in those situations. And I think he'll be better this year.
I think so for sure. And the thing I always say for Jake that was unfair, and then we're going to talk about your book before I let you leave, but he did not pick himself in the third round. And it is a lot of pressure. And I think, I mean, he really did have an incredible season. Especially for a rookie, had an absolutely incredible season. And I agree that it'll just continue. And I also, as you said, he's accountable. And he was always accountable. And we don't always see that from kickers. He would be there to talk. He would take responsibility always.
Yeah, the Cleveland game, he had a makeable kick at the end, missed it. down two, they lost. And I've seen all sorts of kickers in all sorts of situations or players. And he was standing at his locker. As soon as they opened the locker room door, he took wave after wave of question. Took it, just said, "I missed it. It's on me." Handled it with dignity and poise. And, you know, for a, 22-year-old kid, you couldn't ask for anything more. He's obviously raised very well and socialized very well in Ann Arbor, I'm sure.
We had a heck of a coach in Ann Arbor, but that's a podcast for a different time. Mike, before you go, tell us about your book that is coming out very soon.
Tracy, I'm so excited. On October 1st, my book, The Why Is Everything, will be out. It's already available for pre-order. Any of my social media bios have the link. You can get it at Amazon or any of the places you would pre-order. It's published by W.W. Norton. It's on their website as well. So 49er fans especially are going to freak on this. And what this book is, it is about the revolution in football sparked by, at first, Mike Shanahan, but really Kyle Shanahan and his cadre of fellow crazy coaches and innovators, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Raheem Morris, Mike McDaniel, all head coaches now, all part of that staff in Washington under Mike Shanahan. And so really we get into what I covered back in the day, Mike Shanahan rebuilding his career as the 49er offensive coordinator in the 90s and making Steve Young, who was so talented but still hadn't satisfied 49er fans, into a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then taking those Bill Walsh principles, going to Denver, putting outside zone in, and then in Washington, created this environment where these young coaches, instead of just doing what they've been told to do over the years by football people or sticking to a system because it's always worked, questioned everything and continued that innovative, contrarian spirit, pushing each other in all their petty splendor, being rivals, being friends, not talking to each other, plotting against each other. There's so much in there. And there's some great stories, especially, during the Shanahan Lynch era in San Francisco that people are going to really enjoy. But yeah, The Why Is Everything. Please check it out. I can't wait to get it in your hands, Tracy. You will
have it
before October 1st. And of course, I can't wait for you to read the acknowledgments because you are one of the many journalists that I thank for the inspiration.
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored. That's like breaking news to me. Oh my gosh, I might cry. That's me. Thank you. My goodness, that really, wow. Well, that just made my day. Thank you, Mike Silver.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. The Why Is Everything, October 1st. We can find you, of course, the San Francisco Chronicle. Give everyone your socials.
Twitter is at Mike Silver, MikeSilver, if I haven't blocked you, if I have thoughts and prayers, but they're probably workarounds. Threads and Instagram, Real Mike Silver. And Facebook, I think you just search me. I've got a Michael Silver page there somewhere. No TikTok. Don't think my kids are, who are grown, are real enthusiastic about that prospect. I was never allowed on Snapchat. My daughter told me that when she was 12. You get Twitter, I get Snapchat. And I was like, okay. And I think that's it, right? There's no...
yeah, that's everything.
I'm on LinkedIn. I don't, post there a lot, but you can find me there, for you really boring old people like me. But definitely any of those places you can find a link to pre-order this book, and you're going to want it in your hands early because you're going to be hearing things and you're going to want to get a closer look.
100%. You guys, I am on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it, at Tracy FGSN, Instagram and Threads, and TikTok. Your kids did not say I couldn't be on TikTok.
No, you should be.
Except I just called it TikTok, so I don't know how good that is, but at TikTok, at Tracy Sandler, TRACY. You guys can find everything at FGSN.com. We are brought to you by Fevo. Leave us an amazing review. I think that's everything. Happy training camp. Mike, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Bye.
Thank you, as always. Talk to you soon.